flick off your jandals, crack a cold one from the chilli bin, chuck on some cans, and enjoy a Kiwi take on all things Arsenal.
And welcome back to the Arsenal New Zealand pre-match English Premier League podcast. I'm Corey and I'm hosting this week's pod, and I'm joined by my able Auckland-based assistant, Mike. G'day, Mike. How's things up there?
I'm just wondering why you called me able. My back is killing me at the moment, so I'm not sure if it's able, but I'm here. And I've got my microphone plugged in.
Always optimistic.
Always. You know, it's going well, man. Going well. It's just been obviously a crazy start to the year here in old Kiwi land. So, and I think we're in for a few more bumps on the road. But
and speaking of crazy, let's not talk about Wellington right now.
Well, yeah, I heard there was some hay or something being planted in front of the beehive or whatever's going on there.
Yeah. Like I said, let's not go there.
Have you been down there? You haven't gone to check it out?
No, I'm allergic to
stupidity
everything.
Or
and that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not for me.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
In many ways. But yeah, back to the football. So we're playing the might of Brentford this week.
The mighty, mighty Brentford, yeah. It's been a while since we played them at home, isn't it?
It has been. I think we played them in 2018 in a cup game. But prior to that, it's been quite a while.
Yeah.
Obviously, our last memories of playing against Brentford aren't entirely positive.
I've tried to block them out of my memory banks.
Well, I was about to say that the less said about that, the better. I don't think we need to revisit what's been revisited many times.
Well, you're just making them come back now. All those memories and emotions are flooding back. I'm not too happy with that one.
So if we look at the present, I think we've got a pretty stable team. I mean, aside from obviously a replacement left-sided forward, which is pretty obvious. My namesake will be, I would imagine, taking that position, Mr. Smith Rowe.
Yep, I hope so.
Yep, and there's no reason to think differently. I guess the only other person in the squad who, in theory, could be an option is your favourite, Nicolas Pepe, who's high on your list of starting prospects, as he seems to be on Mikel Arteta's. So I highly doubt that's going to happen.
Look, I think he had a semi-decent AFCON, right? Got a few goals, got some training in, caught up with his mates and did lots of Instagram posts, etc. So I wonder if that might have reignited something in him, if there was something in him. So maybe that'll make the difference. I don't know. I think that comes down to Arteta, if he sees that or not as well. And if Pepe fits into the system that he wants to play. Because, I mean, we've talked about Pepe Le Pew a few times on this this wonderful audio broadcast of ours.
And when you say we, you mean you, but
yeah,
carry on.
Yeah, but he has talent, and that's undeniable. Otherwise, he wouldn't have got to where he is. But I don't think the system that we're playing or have played for the last couple of years fits the way, I suppose, he needs
the
a team.
The strengths aren't aligned.
Yeah, exactly.
The strengths aren't aligned.
He needs a team that basically pops the ball over the top and lets him run through, or he's the focal point of the team type thing, and everything is about giving the ball to Pepe and one out of five times it comes off sort of thing. I don't think that's how we're set up or how even football in the Premier League works, to be fair, especially in the last 10 years. It's quite different in the Premier League than it is in other leagues. So we'll see. Maybe he'll get some game time.
And I don't disagree. I guess the thing for me is, you know, we've got 16, 17 games left.
Mm.
There's going to be a few weeks where there's a bit of fixture congestion. We're going to have three matches in a week, including the the week of the match that's just been announced overnight against Liverpool. And I don't necessarily think that, well, I hope we don't have a situation where Pepe needs to start. But if we've got a guy there who can be confidently used for like 15, 20 minutes off the bench with the youngsters that we've got playing, particularly out wide on either side, whether it's Saka, whether it's Martinelli, whether it's Smith Rowe, having that option to help reduce some of the workload and the pressure on those young guys in particular, I think could be really valuable between now and the end of the season. Compared to the other option that we saw against Wolves, where Nketiah came on and, I don't know, it's hard to tell what's going on in a guy's head, but he really didn't look as though he wanted to be there. There was very little, seemed to be very little in the way of effort or pace.
He looks like he's very much struggling for confidence.
He's just very much struggling because he doesn't want to beat it.
Yeah, he's missed a few sitters as well, right? I think it was a few weeks ago he had a header and he had a tap-in goal that he put wide. And
yep, and that's his strength, allegedly.
Supposedly,
He's a
poacher.
He's a box poacher.
Yeah.
But why he was put on against Wolves ahead of Pepe, and even more so given the performance that he then left out there. I guess that's what concerns me to a degree. But, you know, as I've said before, Mikel Arteta probably knows a little bit more about things than I do. So until we've got a whole mountain of evidence to the contrary, then we'll have to give him the benefit.
Yeah.
Whatever his reasons might be.
Well, he obviously sees him day in, day out at trainings and stuff. So there's obviously other things that factor there.
There is.
Yeah.
So on a more positive note, ESR, looking forward to seeing him with a bit of an opportunity to have a decent run.
I must apologise if you hear the gurgling. It's the washing machine in the background. It's not my tummy.
Of course.
I mean, having Smith Rowe back is a massive positive, right?
Yes, it is.
I don't think there's anything else we can say. he's one of the highlights, not just of this season, but the end of last season as well. I can't say much higher. I want him to succeed as much as he can and much as he wants to. And he looks like he's hungry for it as well and desperate for everything that's coming his way as well, if you know what I mean.
Definitely. I mean, I'm really interested to see how he performs, not just in isolation of his performance, but again, what it means for the wider squad. So if ESR comes in and can pick up some of his best form in that wide left position, then that frees up Martinelli. So if Martinelli is a genuine option or could be an option late in games to move into the centre forward position or false nine or whatever we want to call it in a given sense, then again, having a reliable, competent, well-performing option that can slot in on the left or move into the middle to replace Ødegaard again, I just think it's all about building some squad and giving these guys some time and some experience. And, you know, whilst it might not necessarily be apparent that the payoff's there in the short term, we're going to see that in seasons to come.
Yeah, you're right. And being able to give, I suppose, that additional up top option when Smith throws on the field, I think, so Martinelli can kind of push on. And if we're hunting a goal or it's just not like it's night, which will happen, or we just need something extra or different up front.
And we know that Lacazette is not going to play 90 minutes often.
It's hard.
And he's certainly not going to play 90 minutes three times in a week.
No.
So we need someone else who can go and sit in that spot, even if it's the last 15, 20 minutes of a match.
And chase.
And just chase Harry, you know, and look across the league, you know, the the days of the number nine centre forward scoring most of the goals for most of the teams are gone.
Yeah.
No, that role's not the same. Certainly the successful teams. And being able to share that load around is certainly the way forward.
Hold on, my mute button when you come off. You're right there. It's having three or four players that can pitch in with 15 goals, 10, 15 goals, rather than one player with 25 goals, 30 goals, is the way that pretty much every team is kind of constructed now. Every successful team. So we need to find that balance. And while we're all dead keen on a new striker, and yeah, there was talk about that we turned down a striker and all this other stuff in the window, whatever it is, but a striker isn't going to solve the problems. It's going to help with some of the problems, but it's not going to be the final piece in the jigsaw, if you know what I mean. There's a few other pieces that need to fall into place that mean that we have three or four players having a goal every 2 to 3 matches, and hopefully they're all alternate matches as well, not all at the same time. That way there's the pressure's like off a little bit. I feel with Laka sometimes the pressure's on him because he's the only one. And maybe that's the Nketiah scenario as well. He's quite young, and while when he plays for the younger, what is it, the under 23s or the academy, etc., he bangs the goals in. But when he's on the Premier League field and he's up front by himself and there's 20 minutes to go and there's an open opportunity, maybe all that pressure just heaps on him, and because there's no one else banging the goals in, maybe it just gets to him.
And it's also, I guess you've got to recognise, it's a completely different game. It's a completely different level. You know, it's like comparing first-class cricket to test cricket. Actually, no, it's probably like comparing club cricket to test cricket, in all honesty. It is a markedly different kettle of fish trying to compare an under-23 match or a reserve match to playing at the top level in the Premier League. The other potential question, not that it's necessarily a big one, but Tommy's back in full training.
Yeah, there was a bit of a risk starting him.
Yeah,
there's a bit of a doubt with him earlier this week. So
yeah, I'd be happy for Cedric, as much as I'm not Cedric's biggest fan, obviously. But credit where it's due, he played really well against Wolves, and you know, we're not playing one of the elite teams. And they do tend to attack down the middle rather than out wide. So if he is going to start a game,
I would actually love to have Tomiyasu come on with 20 to go.
Yeah, just to put some game time in his legs.
Yeah.
And with a view to starting the next match.
Let Cedric have his game time, etc. But not stress. And even if it comes to the point where we need a goal and we don't put Tomiyasu on, I'm not worried, because I'd rather him have an extra week to recover and get ready for the stretch in, if you know what I mean.
It's the whole risk versus reward thing. And I think the risk of not playing Tommy against Brentford, where you've got Cedric probably coming off his best performance of the season, the risk isn't really there.
Yeah.
Whereas the risk of playing him and him not getting through it for whatever reason, even if it's only a 50-50 or a 30% chance that he won't, I don't see why you'd bother with it.
Yeah, so I'd just
put him on the bench, chuck him on the last 15-20 minutes.
Yeah.
As you said, half an hour at the most.
That run in a few weeks that we've got, we've got Leicester, Liverpool, Villa, in the space of, was it 6 days? That's where we're going to need him. So building him towards that. And then I suppose that in April, we've also got another run of, was it United and West Ham kind of back-to-back as well? So, there's a Chelsea game to be chucked in somewhere as well. So, I'd rather be keeping our prime players for those sort of scenarios.
Definitely.
But again, Mikel knows best, right? So let's see what he does. Yeah.
You know, and that's where, as we touched on earlier, talking about Martinelli being able to have these extra, you know, the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, even 16th player who can come on in the last 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes. Those guys are going to become really important.
Well, there's obviously no Martinelli this week because of an odd referee decision in the last match. So,
because of the red mist.
Yes, from that, but also I suppose the rules weren't fully understood / applied from what I understand. But it'll be good probably for Martinelli to have a break leading into it. I mean, if you're looking at the positives of it, he's got a sort of a 2-week no match break going into that last run of the season. Probably good for him as well. He's quite a young fella, so and he's played a lot of minutes this season. So maybe that paves the way for someone like Pepe to bag a goal or for that sort of thing. Like,
well, I think
I'm trying to look at the positives.
Got to get Pepe on the pitch first before we worry about him banging anything in.
Yeah,
let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I guess the other person worth the mention is our number two, number one, has recovered from COVID. So he'll probably take his place on the bench.
Yeah, well, they were saying that he didn't have too many symptoms. So, happy that he's back on the bench. I suppose he's a better backup goalie at this stage than Onwongo. But
he is, and I guess, you know,
his experience of the squad, right?
Yeah, but there's also been a lot of commentary around Ramsdale's performances in recent weeks. You know, there's been a couple of little shaky moments, and there might be a time where, you know, we get him to sit down just for a week, just to have a bit of, and again, it might be those intense weeks where we've got, you know, he's also young, he's also inexperienced at this level.
Yeah.
And it's not a physical thing, obviously, but just mentally.
See,
it's going to be really important to keep him as fresh as we can as well, because he has a lot of responsibility.
Agree.
In our team.
But a Ramsdale shaky moment is like very minute compared to a Leno shaky moment. If I'm completely honest, I feel way more comfortable with Ramsdale than Leno, especially with the balls at his feet.
I'm not suggesting that Leno's better.
Okay.
Not for a moment.
Good.
What I'm suggesting is we've got to play a long game and be smart, so we make sure that we can get as much as we can, particularly out of our young players.
Yeah.
As they come into a period where they're going to be under pressure like they've never been before.
Yeah.
And that includes Ramsdale.
With a very, I suppose, a slimmed out squad. Is that the correct term? Squad rotation is going to be quite important going towards this end of the season run.
Definitely. So, yeah.
We agreed on something.
Mikel knows best, I guess.
No. Corey and Mike know best.
Well, yeah, but no one listens to Corey and Mike, so it doesn't really matter what I think.
I'll tweet Mikel on this one.
Okay.
And see if he follows through, right?
I'm sure he will.
So the key stats here is we need some potentially 10 to 15 minutes of Pepe time. We want Cedric to start and Tomiyasu to maybe get 10 to 15 minutes at the end.
I wouldn't be quite so bold as to say that I want or we want Cedric to start, but this could be a situation where it might be the best thing for
it
the
might
team.
Pay off. Yes, okay.
And for Tommy. So I don't want to get too bombastic about things.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, let's ignore the bullet points then.
But but speaking of positive things, and it's kind of away from the football, but it isn't. We might see the return of Christian Eriksen.
Yeah,
which I think would be awesome.
Yeah, it's I mean, obviously,
as long as he doesn't score the winning goal or carry on like that.
I was going to say, like, he's obviously got a past with a certain team down the road that we're not so fond of. But he's also got a pass with the Dutch team I support. So
he's also got a pass with nearly dying on a football field a few months ago. So
I was getting to that, but it's you don't want to ever see that to anyone, right? To see what happened to him. So the fact that he's been able to train and he's been able to work his way back to potentially getting back on a football field in a competitive environment is absolutely like astounding. So I'd love to see him play again. I'd love to see him out on the field and kicking a ball around, but I don't really want to see him scoring a goal against us.
I do, but not this weekend.
Yeah. He can score against everybody else. Just not us, please. Yeah.
You know, and I'd still like to think that our fans, as much as there's some pretty dodgy ones on the extremes as there is with any other fan group, but will, you know, be classy.
Yeah.
And give him applause if he does come onto the pitch and not carry on like pork chops and boo him just because he does have a pass with certainly one team in particular.
Yeah.
That obviously we're not fans of, but I think, you know, this is a little bit bigger than that.
Yeah.
100%. I'd like to think so.
Well, definitely down here in Kiwiland, I will be, if he does come on, we'll be giving him a bit of a rap of applause. So, I can't imagine what he's going through potentially coming back. You imagine that feeling like after what's happened.
Definitely.
Like you put it in sort of context with like what Niki Lauda went through.
Yeah.
Right. Getting back behind the wheel was the first thing, right? Is they always say if you have a motorbike accident or something, the worst thing you can do is not get back behind the wheel straight away if possible, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. The longer you leave it, the harder it gets.
Yeah. So fingers crossed for him, no?
Definitely. And then I think finally, just before we call it quits and you finish your washing, a little bit of commentary on just in general on the top four race.
Yeah, well,
there's still a long way to go, but it's
we're there and thereabouts, aren't we?
Bloody interesting.
Look, we've got, was it three games in hand over United and West Ham, and we're only 4 points behind United, who are in fourth.
Yep.
Two games in hand over Chelsea, and we're 8 points behind them. So maybe third, Chelsea is probably slightly out of reach unless they have a collapse, I'd say. But
maybe possibly slightly.
Yeah, but I think there's definitely... But
luckily, we're not greedy.
No. Definitely there's opportunity there, right? And Chelsea aren't going to win every single game going through. Famous last words. But there's definitely opportunity there to make up some ground in the next couple of games. The downside is those games that we've got to catch up on are against a few of the bigger teams,
Liverpool,
right?
It's Chelsea.
Liverpool and Chelsea. So
every team's got difficult games still. Yeah. You know? So I think the best thing for us is that if we win the games, we should win. In inverted commas, we are going to be there or thereabouts after 38 games.
And then, I mean, imagine what the all or nothing documentary is going to be like at the end of the season, from where we started to where we potentially are looking in and around that Jesus Champions League spot, which is going to cause a bit of an issue down here in New Zealand with...
Have you read the script?
What? Really?
Have you read the script?
Have we got a script?
Really? Well, the Amazon script.
No.
It's all or nothing.
No. Well, tell me the script. Go.
No, I haven't. I was just asking if you had. That's all.
Oh, no. I'm pretty sure
it's them controlling everything.
Who, Amazon or?
Yeah.
So Amazon have basically said that Arsenal are going to lose the first three games of the season and then go on this amazing run and finish in the Champions League spot. And
exactly.
And then in New Zealand, Sky Sport are going to get the Premier League rights back. So then we have to still buy two different subscriptions to watch the Champions League and the Premier League.
Yeah, but you've jumped ahead. Let's just focus on this season.
Is that all Amazon? Is that all Amazon?
No. Sky's got nothing to do with Amazon. But this year's Arsenal league performance has.
Okay.
Hashtag ratings.
Well, I mean, what's his name? Kroenke's won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
He's pretty happy. So, I mean, imagine if Amazon were able to chuck their hat in the ring and do that for us.
Mm.
How far are we off the top spot?
Interesting times. 20, we're 6 at the moment. But
24 points? Do you reckon we could bring that in? No?
No. I don't think we could. I think Amazon can control a lot, but as much money as Jeff Bezos has, I'm not sure he's got quite that much.
Yeah. Mm, okay.
He's not going to outbid the Saudi royal family.
No, probably not. No.
Or whoever it is that owns. Oh, no, it's Dubai, isn't it? That owns City.
City. Yeah. Yeah.
The other teams aren't too difficult.
No, I mean, I still think we'll get over West Ham. Definitely over them. And United, I mean, they're not in the best of frame of mind at the moment. So there's opportunity there. And 3 games in hand with only 4 points. I mean, you'd hope you'd get 4 points out of those 3 games at least. And then back it up. Well, because one of the games against them as well. So it's almost a 6-pointer if you go the other way. So,
yeah. Interesting times.
Interesting, yeah.
But yeah, and finally, as you just touched on, Spark Sport have lost the rights to show the Premier League in New Zealand.
Yeah,
next season.
It's a big deal, right? It's 6 years as well.
It's a long deal.
Yeah, normally it's only been like 2 or 3 years. But a 6-year deal, they haven't announced how much they paid for it, but I'm assuming there's quite a lot in behind that because
it would have to be.
There's a membership exodus of football fans happened when they lost it originally. What was it? It was many years ago because we had BN Sports for a while and we had Coliseum, all those other bits.
I think it's more of a bigger picture thing, looking at sport as a whole and where some of the rights, you know, that they're losing or have lost to Spark.
Yeah.
You know, the domestic cricket and a lot of motor racing stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be quite hard as a sport fan to either fork out double or suck up missing one.
The difference for Sky is it's their core business.
Yeah,
so they can go 5-6 years on the track. Here's the money on the table, whereas it's a lot easier for Spark to go, oh yeah, nah, bugger it, you know. And I think that's what they're obviously hoping, and I wouldn't be surprised if they utilize similar tactics when gaining other commercial agreements and try and get them out as long as possible. So
I've never had an issue with Spark. I know some people have had issues getting it to play and all that sort of stuff, but
I found it fantastic.
I found it awesome. I just obviously they haven't announced the full
iPad, PC,
yeah,
and new TV's got the Spark app already installed. Yeah, Samsung.
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
They haven't announced, I suppose, the full package of what's going to be involved in this. They just said it's going to be all 380 games live and some stuff around the games.
Yep.
They haven't kind of pulled out what's going to come out of it. But, yeah, it's going to be an interesting...
I mean, I'd imagine it'll be the generic EPL feed.
I'd hope so.
Which has a bit of pre-game and post-game. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but obviously, are they going to do the...
Which is save having to go to YouTube for that stuff.
Are they going to do the highlights packages that come out every week and all those other little small... I mean, with Spark, it's quite cool. We'd be able to watch the 3-minute highlights packages on demand of every other match or the extended highlights for 15 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
Quite good when you're at the gym. You can just chuck on a few games.
As you said, what we had previously with Coliseum and Bean, I found Spark a really good step forward.
So let's hope Sky continue that positive, I suppose, momentum. What they did do a few years ago when Sky had the feed from BN Sports was you could log into the BN Sports app with your Sky login.
Mm-hmm.
which worked quite well because then you got could get access to everything that's on beIN Sports.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be how they manage it, and like if I just want to buy the football, can I just buy the football? Or do I have to buy everything else to go with Sky to get the football? If you know what I mean.
At least now they have the Sky Go or Sky Now, whatever they call it this week.
Yeah.
Online option. You know, hopefully, yeah, as you said, there's something around that where you can just get, I either just get the football alone or just get the Premier League, ideally, even better on its own. For some people, not me, but for some people who just want that.
Yeah.
But it'll be one of those things. I mean, you're never going to keep everybody happy, and whatever they do or don't do, people are going to complain about it, and those will be the noisy ones that you hear about. Whereas the vast majority of us will probably just, okay, yep, you go.
And I suppose the other thing to throw in the mix is I think Spark have Champions League rights for another year, don't they?
Sky?
No, Spark.
Do they? I don't watch the Champions League, obviously.
No, I'm pretty sure they're...
Although I'm looking forward to watching some of it next year.
I'm pretty sure they've moved those rights over to Spark. So, okay. Or was it... Yeah, I think it is that one. But there is, I suppose, a split in content happening. As a sport fan, it's annoying, but I know my wife will be excited because she'll be able to watch HGTV 24/7 when I'm not watching the football. So,
and you're right, they do. Spark does have Champions League.
They do, yeah.
And the Europa League and the European Farmers League.
Yeah. So, like, if you're in any one of those competitions and you're a fan on the other side of the world, like we are.
Yep.
Now you're going to have to pay double the subscription to be able to watch your matches.
Although you'd currently be paying both anyway, because currently it's the other way around.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like a reverse. It's like a flip, isn't it? Yeah. So.
Yeah. Crazy. Anyway, any final words?
Prediction?
Before we get to the most critical part of the podcast.
No. I'm ready for my prediction.
No breakfast updates?
No, this morning was mince on toast with some refried potatoes, so it was quite good.
Nice.
It missed a poached egg on top, though, but it was quite good. Yourself?
Well, you know, you can't be perfect all the time. nothing major from me. I just had dirty old Marmite and Vogels for breaking this morning, so.
I don't mind the Vogels. The Marmite can, we can get rid of that one.
you'll get there one day. So, prediction.
Dun. The mighty Arsenal. I'm gonna go with a 3-1.
Scores.
I know you love my scoring predictions. We're gonna go. Boom shakalaka. Lacazette up front. He's going to bang in the first one, probably a penalty. That's where I'm going to sit. I think we might get an Odegaard goal.
No.
And I'm then going to pick, because he's my favourite player in the squad at the moment, Tomiyasu with a screamer.
If he plays.
25-yard screamer, top corner.
After he comes on in the 88th minute.
Yeah, first touch of the ball, rip a hole in the back of the net. I don't care who scores, mate. I just want to win.
Yeah. Nah, I feel you.
How good would that be, though? Tomiyasu, bang. Can you imagine the celebration?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm like, I don't care who scores.
Yeah.
I just care that we score.
Yeah.
I was going to say 3-1. And normally I...
Wait, back the truck up. Did we just subconsciously link up there or something?
No, I don't think we did.
Oh.
Because that would be quite weird and you're in Auckland, so.
Yeah, okay.
3-1 for me too. Scorers, Tierney.
Tierney, oh yeah.
Thomas Partey.
Jesus.
Yep. And Saka.
Is the goal in the roof or something? Is that what he's aiming for? When
it's not going to be an intentional goal, but he still goes for it.
What, an own goal?
No, it'll be a deflection.
Oh, okay, right. Jesus, you need to put some money on that, because if that happens, man, like,
I'd be paying about $1 million.
The way he shoots. Yeah. Yep. And was it Sucker with a third? Was it?
Yeah. With a goal, not necessarily.
Yeah, the third. In that order. Yeah. Yes, Sucker's a good shout, because he's always in and around and hunting and yeah, he's got a good strike on him as well. So he's a good shout.
I mean, I'd love to think he is hard, but I don't want to put too much pressure on him.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. Let's hope there's some goals and some confidence built out of this game, and we move forward. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I'd be equally happy if we get another 1-0, as I predicted in the last match.
Yeah. Are you just trying to rub it in there? Are you?
Well, you know, I just want to throw it out there.
No, it should be. Hopefully it's a positive game. I mean, I was just looking at the stats that had come out of...
Do you have to?
Yeah, what was it? Lacazette has scored in 12 London derbies, or 12 London derby goals, whatever. Our last home game against Brentford, we won 3-1 in the League Cup back in 2018.
Yep.
And they have a picture of Nicolas Pepe on that one. I'm not sure why that stat has Pepe in there, but... He hasn't been around since 2018, has he? 32 unbeaten Premier League home games against promoted sides.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like a stat that's going to be beaten soon.
Possibly.
Just one of the last...
Get too carried away.
Yeah. Just one of the last 24 teams have won their first ever Premier League away game at the Emirates. The one that scares me, though, is Brentford have beaten us 6 times and we've only beaten them 3 in all competitions. That scares me.
What has happened doesn't matter.
Mm. What is happening matters, what right? What
will happen.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't have to be the same.
Yeah, fair enough.
But hey, stats are great.
In hindsight.
And on that note, I think we'll call it quits. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks very much. Appreciate you having me on.
Oh, you know, I'll do a quick survey, but chances are we might even get you back for the next match. What do you reckon?
I'm up for it.
I can't make any promises, but...
As long as the fans will have me, I'm here.
We'll see how we get on.
Fan will have me, I'm here.
Both of them,
okay, yeah.
Have fun up there, mate. Take care.
Man. You too. See ya.
Come on, the Arsenal.